No magi, no service.
Sorry?
No magi, no service. Nobody touches my table unless they have the magi. The magi protects you. Protects you. It is the protective coating from the mummy.
It sounds crazy, I know. But a lot of really freaky stuff was happening during the shoot. It was grueling. Scaffolding falling down, artifacts and props and stuff just collapsing. Porta potties locking people in.
So does everybody get a magi symbol?
Yes, we've offered to everybody. Some of the crew was hesitant at first. Brendan was hesitant at first, but I believe now he's wearing it, and there haven't been any incidences since.
I mean, look, it says, look at that.
Yeah, it's
made in China.
I understand. Well,
what's the story with these things anyway?
Chinese,
I
mean, you know, it's an old society, and they know what they're doing in terms of curses. So why don't we put this on?
What? Because Imhotep's gonna come and get me?
Well, let's just say it could happen. Okay. Let's just keep this on today.
All right.
Thank you. You're doing great.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
I'm sorry. Listen, you're great, but no magi, no service.
I think you're great, too, but I really need a cup of joe. And if I don't get one, I think I might blow a gasket, and it's not a pretty sight. You know. Does this mean anything to you?
I think you're fantastic, but no magi, no service.
I don't get...
I'm a big fan.
Fresh. What is this?
Fresh out the oven.
Of all the people...
On this episode on Remy's Roundtable, Remy and Jen had an amazing weekend with each other. They both went to MegaCon, and it was Jen's first comic book convention in Orlando. Then Remy and Jen went to the New Smyrna Jazz Fest. Scott covered your theme park updates, and we were joined by the 5-Minute Professor to give us our lecture and quiz on peanut butter and jelly. So don't go anywhere and enjoy this episode of Remy's Roundtable starting right now.
Welcome to Remy's Roundtable, the podcast for everybody who would like to know about the beautiful state of Florida. It's now time for Remy's Roundtable with Remy, Scott, and Jen.
That's right, guys. Here we go for another episode of Remy's Roundtable, streaming on all podcasting platforms, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. Thank you so much for tuning in to this lovely episode. This is our MegaCon episode, and we'll be joined by the 5-Minute Professor to give us our lecture and quiz on peanut butter and jelly, and we will wrap it up with your theme park updates with Scott. So welcome to the program, everybody. Of course, you guys know me. My name is Remy, and with me, as always, is my dangerous co-host, my partner in crime, the margarita with no salt. We have Scott with us tonight. Scott, what is going on, man? How you doing?
Man, so I had to wake up this morning at 3:30 in the morning for work, so that was a little bit before you woke up. But I didn't sleep well last night because of that stupid lightning storm. My dogs were going nuts. Literally scared the crap out of one of my dogs. We came downstairs because we were putting my daughter to bed, and he was downstairs. Big bolt of lightning, crash of thunder, and he ran upstairs. As he ran upstairs, he literally pooped on the staircase. So that was not fun. It also did something to my sprinkler system, and one of the zones was just on all night.
Wow.
And all day. We had to shut off the main water to the irrigation system. So we're gonna have to drop some dough tomorrow to have an irrigation specialist take a look at it.
Oh my gosh, man. I am so sorry about that. And I was over my friend's house on Saturday while the storm was happening, and my friend Max, he invited me over, and he goes, "Hey man, do you want to drink and watch Endgame?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, let's do that." And then we played some Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, and then
basically you're saying he had a really good night and you had a great one.
I didn't have a great
1998.
First of all, and that didn't happen on Saturday. That
Friday. It happened on Saturday
because last night, which was Saturday.
Yesterday was Saturday.
We went out to New Smyrna Beach.
That's right. I'm so sorry. I meant Friday. I am so sorry. And guys,
but you're still saying, I'm so sorry that happened.
I know.
I had such an amazing time with my friend. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm sorry about your night, but I had an amazing time.
But let me tell you about my great night. Yeah, no, I'm sorry your grandfather died, but I got to go to a concert last night.
And guys, that voice you are hearing is the brain.
I'm sorry you got fired from your job, but I just got promoted.
Well, guys, that voice you are hearing is the brains of this operations, and that is my lovely wife, Jen. How you doing, sweetie?
I am doing fabulously. I am exhausted.
Yes, we are both exhausted because we went to MegaCon.
Sorry you're exhausted, Jen, but I just drank a Red Bull. I'm ready to go.
Look, Scott has wings. If I could handle the caffeine that's in a Red Bull, believe me, it would be on board right now.
So, Scott, we went to MegaCon today, and yes, this is our MegaCon episode, and we're also going to bring on the 5-Minute Professor later on today. We had a great time. We woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. 5:30 this morning.
I was rolling into work.
We got there around what time?
Seven-ish.
We stopped at McDonald's, grabbed some breakfast, and we drove straight to the convention center, because I've been seeing on the MegaCon Facebook page about how the parking is getting filled up every single time.
Traffic's awful.
Traffic was awful. So I'm like, we have to plan it right. Plan it like a rope drop at Disney. And that's exactly what we did, except we did our own rope drop at MegaCon.
Yeah. And it was literally, we were like one of the first people there at the entrance, because we only had a Sunday pass. So it was my first MegaCon. It was my first con ever. I'd never been to any of the Comic Cons. And it was our first, obviously, MegaCon together and con together. So it was, we wanted it to be right. And
you sound like a criminal when you're like, it was our first con together.
That's right. We did. It was our very first con.
Well, I do steal hearts, you know.
Well, you stole my heart, honey.
Aww. Okay. Anyway.
Brum, 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 brum.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what that
Let's
was.
Get it on.
No, let's not. I've been feeling bad. God has been for so long.
You got it, babe. You got it. So once we got into MegaCon,
we had to wait like an hour and a half just to get past the outside part.
And then we have to go get these lovely badges. I know you guys cannot see this because we are not on Facebook Live, but Scott, this is the badge we had to get for us to go into MegaCon.
And we met a lovely couple.
We did. Shout out to James and Kim. They were cool to hang out with today at MegaCon.
Absolutely. It was really fun, and it was really hilarious because I was dressed up like Rowena Ravenclaw, and she was behind me. Okay, this is creepy now.
Come on, Scott.
She was behind me, and she was dressed in a Hufflepuff robe, and I heard
ooh,
her
behind.
Talking. Shut up. I heard her behind me talking about Ravenclaw.
I mean, it's only funny
Rowena.
When I do it.
I know.
It's creepy.
Rowena Ravenclaw and everything like that. And she's like, yeah, she's one of the only ones that I actually know of the Ravenclaws and da-da-da. And like, I don't even really know any Hufflepuffs except. And I'm hearing this conversation, and I'm telling it to Remy. And Remy's like, why don't you talk to them? I'm like, I don't like people. I don't talk to people. And I turned around, and he's like, talk to her. I turned around, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm Rowena Ravenclaw, and I love your Hufflepuff, you know, whatever robe that you have and everything. And she's like, yeah, da da da. I saw, that's what I was talking about. I said, I overheard your conversation, and my husband wanted me to talk to you, but I told her, I don't like people, so I don't usually talk to people. And she's like, I don't like people either. I totally understand. Like,
aww.
The four of us hit it off pretty well the whole day. She like held our place in line for we went and saw
Brendan Fraser.
She held our place in line like while we went and got like our lanyards and our swag that we were getting, because they'd been here already a couple days. So she went and she got in the other line that you have to get in after you've gotten past the gate to go actually into MegaCon. So you have to do all of that stuff. And so after we activated our badges and did all the nonsense that you have to do to get through to the next gate. She held it for in place for us so that we could be at the front of the line with her and her husband. It was really nice. They were very nice people.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So after we saw Brendan Fraser, a lot of questions that during the panel were talking about his time recording, you know, his famous line from Revenge of the Mummy and
the ride.
Yeah. And I was like, come on, can you guys ask him like a serious question, not about Revenge of the Mummy? Because that ride, he's like, man, I don't remember that ride. That was 20 years ago.
Well, here's the funny part. So he says this, but what were you planning on giving him if you got the chance to talk to him and meet him?
So I had the question, and the question that I was going to ask him had to do with Airhead. But what I did was I gave him my production crew lanyard from Revenge of the Mummy because I was cleaning out my closet. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give this to him. And I gave it to one of his person who
handlers.
Was... Yeah, the handlers. Yeah, handlers. Yeah, so I gave it to the handler at the con.
Yeah.
And
well, because he was so busy with everything... And they're like, if you don't have a ticket, you really can't go up there. And he was like probably one of the only ones that was there that they were like that about. He was already completely sold out for Sunday. So we couldn't even go up to him and talk
to
him.
So Remy, Scott. If you had an opportunity to ask a question during the panel to Brendan Fraser, what would it have been?
My question would have been, what was it like working with these legends, Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, and the late Chris Farley on Airheads? That was going to be my question.
Such a great cast and such a terrible movie.
Yes.
Oh yeah. But a really good cult comedy classic just to watch.
No.
I wouldn't call it a cult comedy classic.
Yeah. I would say I'd watch it once.
I would call my favorite Brendan Fraser movie a cult comedy classic. But before I reveal that, Remy, real quick, gun to your head, favorite Brendan Fraser movie.
Oh, easy. Monkey Bone.
Okay. Jen, favorite Brendan Fraser movie.
That one's kind of hard because I like the Mummy series, but I also like Inkheart.
Okay.
And Scott, what about you?
My favorite, without a shadow of a doubt, Encino Man.
Okay.
Classic.
Yeah, that one was good.
Classic.
I still don't like it as much as... Okay, yeah, and that's the reason why I don't like it as much. I don't like it as much as The Mummy because of the person that's in it.
Pauly Shore?
Oh, you don't like Pauly Shore?
I can't stand him.
Yeah, geez. Pauly Shore.
Oh, it was Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Sean Astin, though.
Yeah, Rudy.
Rudy.
He was also there. He was there at the Comic-Con.
All the four. Oh, really? All of the four Hobbits were there.
Yeah, the four went on the Lord of the Rings.
I saw that Dominic...
Moynihan?
Dominic... Yeah, was there.
And he was.
Look, I'm not a Middle Earth person. I don't like the Lord of the Rings or any of that stuff. I loved him in Lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a beloved character in Lost. So that would have been pretty cool. See, I've never been to a MegaCon. I don't like crowds. So I don't know that I would enjoy it as much as you guys do. And I don't.
Honestly, I get claustrophobic. Remember? So
how was your levels today for your claustrophobic?
It was like a 7 or 8. Yeah, I know. He says claustrophobic. I'm sorry, he checks on me.
Claustrophobia.
He's like, what's your level for claustrophobic? And I'm like, it's like a 7. It's at like a 7 right now. And we were out on the thing. We were looking at like the different
vendors
and what they were selling and what have you. But it was like a level 7 out of 10 for most of the day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's kind of stressful for most
of
the day.
For me, it's not an anxiety thing or anything. I just don't like crowds. I don't like being in crowds. It's nothing that I can't handle. I can do it. And let me say this, though. If it's like something that I really want to do, then I'll deal with the crowds. Like, for example, I went to opening day of Hogsmeade, you know, Forbidden Journey and Hogsmeade. It was the first Harry Potter. And it was a 3-hour wait to get into the park. And then it was a 10-hour wait just to get on the island. And you know, there was a ton more people than I've ever seen at Universal in my entire life. I didn't ride it that day, but I dealt with that because I really wanted to do it. And what is it with theme parks opening brand new attractions in May? It is so freaking hot.
Yeah.
I remember because Forbidden Journey opened in May. I get it. They want to get it ready for the summer and all that. But like, okay, open it a little bit earlier. And then I've got my Guardians preview tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm going to be standing outside in the heat for that. And I stood outside in the heat for my other Guardians preview. It's just, mm-hmm. I don't get why they insist. And it's always like Memorial Day weekend.
They have to do it right before. Well, I think they do it mostly because they want to have the biggest bang because it's right before summer break.
I get it.
That's why they do it.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
You got that right, Scott. All right, guys. Now it's time for us to play the celebrity birthday game. Before we do that, I have some theme park history and National Day today. So on May 22nd, today is National Buy a Musical Instrument Day. I mean, Jen and I are both musicians, and I have not, you know, bought a brand new sax yet or a piano, guitar, nothing. I haven't bought anything new yet. Honey, what about you?
Well, I got you a guitar for Christmas a couple years ago.
Yes, you did.
Never play. I have two guitars. I have an electric and I have an acoustic, and I tried. I really wanted to go in the raffle for Kitchen Killers. So that I could possibly win this really beautiful acoustic guitar.
And we forgot to do that.
So I would definitely buy, probably right now, I would want an amp
for my
electric. Because I don't have an amp for my electric. So that's my next big purchase for that. And then after that, probably a keyboard.
Okay, Scott, what about you, man? Would you buy a musical instrument?
Nope.
Okay. And also, today is National Vanilla Pudding Day. National Vanilla Pudding. On May 22nd, 1968, the Disney Travel Company was incorporated in Florida. And last and finally, on May 22nd, 1998, Disney Quest had its grand opening in Florida.
And then 2 weeks later, closed.
And it closed, mm-hmm. Yep. All right, guys, today we're going to play the birthday game. Happy birthday today to Jennifer Goodwin. Yeah, Jennifer Goodwin.
Jennifer Goodwin from Once Upon a Time.
And Zootopia. She played Judy Hopps.
Cool. Never saw that movie.
How old is Jennifer Goodwin today? Scott?
37.
Jen?
I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to say 38.
She is 44 years old today. 44. Cool. And last and finally, happy birthday today to Ann Cusack. She's a sister to Joan Cusack and... what's his other name? I can't think of his name.
John Cusack.
Yeah. John. Yes. So how old is Ann Cusack? Scott?
Is she the younger sister or older
65.
Sister?
65. Jen?
I'm going to assume she's the younger sister, and I'm going to say she's 52.
She is 61 years old today. And guys, that will wrap it up.
Put that right down the middle.
Yeah. Yep. Coming up next, guys, we'll be joined by the 5-Minute Professor to give us our lecture and quiz on peanut butter and jelly. So guys, do not go anywhere. We will be right back. You are listening to Remy's Roundtable.
You're listening to Remy's Roundtable with Remy, Scott, and Jen.
Hey, this is Scott from the No New Friends podcast, the podcast for adults who love to laugh at adulting. We're streaming everywhere every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Join us as we discuss adulting, parenting, relationship issues, and then we talk about some pop culture news, some strange news, and other current events. Once again, that's the No New Friends podcast every Sunday night, streaming everywhere. And now back to this episode of Remy's Roundtable.
What's going on, fam? It's that guy from the theme park you're pretty sure you see all the time, but you can't think of his name. That's me, the Joey Mazzant, saying keep it here for Remy's Roundtable.
Welcome back, everybody, to Remy's Roundtable, streaming on all podcasting platforms. You guys know where to check us out, Spotify, iHeart, and also Apple Podcasts and Newsly.me. Head on over to Newsly.me/Remy's Roundtable. We are on there. And guys, coming up now is the 5-Minute Professor. Of course, you guys know the crew. We have myself, my name is Remy, and we have Scott and Jen. And guys, it is now time for...
It's time to rise above the butt jokes and hemorrhoid humor.
Even though we were a few bleeding moments.
And actually learn something. This is the 5-Minute Professor.
Greetings and salutations, Professor. How are you doing this Sunday evening?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. Thank you for having me with tonight. And if I may point out, it's only marginally confusing when you introduce Scott and Jen as if they were a couple.
a little bit confusing.
I know they're not.
Just slightly.
I know they're not, but my third youngest brother, Scott, is married to a woman named Jen. So there is a Scott and Jen couple that I am familiar with, and she is one of my top three favorite sister-in-laws.
Oh, there's only three, aren't there?
There's only three. Yep, that's true. You know, you're bringing that up. Yep, good point. Yeah. You know what? There may only be two.
Now, Professor, before we get started, I want to point out your shirt. You're wearing a really cool shirt. Why don't you tell us about it? It says, Who the Dickens?
Who the Dickens? That is our Orlando Fringe show. My wife and I, who do the show The Lady and the Professor, we do actually. And so now you can see my shirt. And behind me, you can see some of our dirty laundry from the show. We're doing six shows at the Orlando Fringe Festival. Who the Dickens? It is not a retelling of A Christmas Carol. It is a story which features me playing Ebenezer Scrooge and my wife as Cindy Lou Who. She comes to visit Ebenezer because she has some questions. Now, last year we did a show called What the Dickens, where I was Ebenezer Scrooge and she was Jacob Marley. And no, we never explained that. That show, I was always Ebenezer. She was always Jacob. This time, I am Ebenezer and she is Cindy Lou Who.
And we cannot
That's
wait.
That's awesome.
And we cannot wait to check it out on Thursday evening.
We had our second show. So our first show was Friday night, and it's a new theater space. We've been in it twice, and both times that we had been in it, the tech rehearsal and our first show, things were really hectic before the start of the show. Like, I got my microphone maybe 3 minutes before the curtain went up, and there is no curtain.
Oh, wow.
We weren't comfortable. Today, we were comfortable. Things went very well, and it was a great show today. So, a really good show, and I think you'd enjoy it. It's got a lot of funny bits in it, and they're almost all my wife's.
That's
awesome.
Did you write
this show, or you and your wife together write the show?
No, actually, our friend Patrick Prenito has written all of our shows. He wrote last year's What the Dickens. He writes Who the Dickens. And then what Tracy and I do is we inhabit the characters. We punch up the script a little bit. We tighten up a couple of the jokes, change a few things. Every once in a while, he tells us he wants us to do something. And we say, okay. And then we do something really different than that. But that having been said, Patrick deserves all the writing credit. All we do is take a couple of things here and there and just, you know, maybe put a joke in or two. If it was a movie, I would demand a writing credit, but it's not. I mean, almost all of this idea is Patrick. Patrick did all the hard work, and Patrick built the set, and the set is amazing. If you go to Who the Dickens, see any of the pictures that are posted there. If you go to the 5 Minute Professor page on Facebook, if you go to the Lady and the Professor page, you'll see some pictures. There's some pictures which include some of the set pieces which he made. He made a very Seussian
That's cool.
environment.
I love Seussian sets.
Which is hard for him because he really is a fan of symmetry. And ooh, you know,
straight lines.
Seuss is not.
Yeah.
So it is not something of a combination of Seuss's almost Escher-like drawings and what could actually function in society.
Right. So
that's awesome. Now, how can our listeners find out more showtimes? OrlandoFringeFestival.com?
OrlandoFringe.org. OrlandoFringe.org. And we are Who the Dickens. And this is something we should know. We did a show last year. What the Dickens? The shows are arranged alphabetically. We are third to last.
Oh, man.
You got to scroll
it just
down.
Just needs to be like, Who the Dickens?
What it should be is an Ebenezer Scrooge adventure. Who the Dickens?
There you go.
Put that's a great title.
Line first.
Or a Don't Panic production, because that's the name of a production company.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of great references in there. If you're into sci-fi, there's a ton of great references, and I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
That's so awesome.
So
yes, Remy, you've got a question for the professor.
I sure do, actually. Professor, we were talking about earlier on the program that Jen and I went to MegaCon. And yes. We also went to the New Smyrna Jazz Fest yesterday. And I got to say, man, I heard some things about MegaCon this season, about the parking, the traffic. What we did was we got up at 5 o'clock this morning.
5:30.
And we got there.
I was wondering what you were doing awake because you were messaging me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
So we got there. We got there around 7 a.m. and we waited until 8-ish to go get our badges. And then
it was like 8:30, 8:45 when they let us in.
We don't need no stinking badges. I know you're telling this story, and I don't want to interrupt, but Scott. You know what that movie is, what the line is. Now, we know it probably from Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it actually comes from an older movie called The Treasures of the Sierra Madre.
Oh, really?
I have seen in my life 5 minutes of this movie, but not because I saw a clip of it somewhere on the internet. I was flipping through the channels. And the Treasures of the Sierra Madre came on, and that scene came on, and then I turned it off, and I said, I don't need to watch the rest of this movie.
That's funny,
but it comes from a movie. They are pretending to be federales, and they say, show us your badges. And they say, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. And then they all end up dying. Wow.
There's a similar line. I think it's in... Weird Al movie, the UHF, but it's Badgers.
Badgers, yeah.
We don't need no stinking Badgers.
Yeah. Supplies!
So
Remy, you were telling the story about this morning, and I apologize for interrupting.
It's all good.
It is what pops in my head when I hear badges.
So we got our badges, and then as soon as we walked into the front door, we saw, you know, the vendors where all the artists are, all the actors are. We went to our first Q&A panel, which we saw Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him.
Did you get him his cup of coffee?
I gave him my...
Somebody brought that up, though.
Yeah, someone brought that up, and he got tearful. And after that, we went back down to the main floor, did the vendors and stuff, and then we saw some comedy at MegaCon. Huge shout-out to Mike Herlihy, Ken Miller, Marcus Crespo, and Hannibal...
Cannell,
which is a really funny comedian. But Professor...
Allen.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hannibal
Allen.
Yeah.
So I want to bring up one thing about The Lady and the Professor, and that is I love it when your wife does the rapid questions for you. So, Professor, we have some questions for you as well.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And,
dear.
Let me go on... Before this starts, let me go on the record, as this is a terrible idea. This is like challenging the late... and great Michael Jackson to a dance-off. I mean, like, this is kind of the equivalent. You're trying to challenge the professor who was able to bring up the original badges, we don't need us thinking badges line.
Oh, yeah.
But in their defense, and in the lady's defense from The Lady and the Professor, I don't know everything. I know a lot of context on things, and I realize as I've gotten older, I'm really good at saying, you know, that thing with the thing... I was out for a run the other day and I was thinking of something and I could think of like 40 details about the thing. I couldn't remember the name. So that happens to me a lot. And this rapid trivia thing, it is one of the ways I like to stay humble. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know. So I'm ready for this, Remy.
All right, here we go. Question number one. In what year was the first newspaper printed?
First newspaper printed in 1512.
1609.
Years are tough.
In which city was Jim Morrison buried?
Jim Morrison was buried in Paris, he died.
That's correct. What painting is also known as La Gioconda?
Well, I don't know if anyone calls it the Gioconda except for the Italians. Everyone else calls it the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa is absolutely correct. How many pair of wings does a bee have?
I'd say pairs?
Yeah. How many pair of wings does a bee have?
I think it has... I'm going to go with 3 pairs, 6 wings.
Two.
See, I thought two, and I said, that's not that different. I talked myself out of it. All right, go on.
How long does it take to boil an egg?
Depends on how boiled you want it. But a perfect egg is a 3-minute egg.
Seven. 7 minutes.
That is a lie.
That's a hard-boiled egg.
It's a hard-boiled egg.
No, there's a good technique for making a hard-boiled egg, which takes 7 minutes. But what happens is you boil the water, you take the egg, you put it into the boiling water, and you turn the water off, and you let it cool for 7 minutes. That is not the same. There's a three-minute egg where you boil it in water for 3 minutes. I take offense at your answer, sir.
Okay.
So I'm
giving the points to the professor. Okay?
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I grew up where, and they were perfectly good eggs, by the way. I grew up where I took my mom taught me how to boil eggs. We put eggs, like raw eggs, in cold water, boiled them.
That's another good technique. Yep.
You boiled them, and when it came to a boil, you boiled them for a couple of minutes, and then you let them sit on the stove for maybe 20 minutes to cool off before you open them up. That's how mine did it.
There's a lot of techniques which are designed to make it so it's easier to shell the egg.
Yeah.
But you can make an egg in boiling hot water in 3 minutes, or you can use that 7 minute technique, which is to put it into boiling water and turn it off. And starting with cold water, the idea of the cold water is to help form some separation on the membrane of the egg.
Yeah.
Question number six. Question number six. What item did the crocodile swallowed in Peter Pan?
He swallowed the clock, but he also bit and swallowed Hook's hand.
Yep. The alarm clock is absolutely correct. Question number seven. Question number seven. How many phases does a moon have?
Well, technically one, because the moon doesn't change. We identify new moon, waxing gibbous, half.
Breaking Dawn part two.
So I'm going to say that we would say that there's eight phases of the moon.
Absolutely correct.
Wasn't there like a song or an album about eight phases of the moon or something? Or that was the
I'm
title,
sure there right? was. Yeah. I'm sure there was in the 70s.
Yeah, right.
Those damned hippies.
question number eight. What's the hardest rock?
The hardest rock is a diamond.
Absolutely correct.
I'll also have to accept carbon.
Carbon, yes.
That's what diamond's made out of.
I was going to say heavy metal, but I would have been way off.
AC/DC.
Heavy metal.
I thought maybe you'd go the other way, because you know what the softest metal is? Softest
gold.
Metal.
Gold, yeah.
Talc.
Oh, talc. Talc.
Hmm.
It's the low end of the Mohs scale.
Ah.
Talc is from like talcum powder, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's powder talc.
Do we have a Larry or Curly scale?
There is no. just the Mohs scale. MOHS, Mohs scale. That's to determine the hardness of elements.
Question number nine. Who was the first American to go into space?
How is that answer? Not John Glenn.
It's not John Glenn. It is Alan.
Oh, no. It's See? Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard.
See? He went into the atmosphere. John Glenn went into... It didn't break the bound of what they consider space.
And finally, question number 10. What mammal doesn't have any vocal cords?
If only it was women.
Oh!
Bitch!
Damn! Professors, bring on the heat!
I'm going to go with Tracy. I'm going to go with... That's why I whispered... I think a giraffe
is absolutely correct.
I know there isn't a sound for a giraffe, but I know they can make like a bleeding noise, but I didn't know if you'd need to have, and vocal cords would have to be crazy long. So that was my deduction there.
That went so much better than I thought it was. Remy, congratulations. That went well.
It's better than the question that I came up with, which was...
Go ahead. Ask a professor that question. I want to see if he gets it.
What is the movie where Johnny Depp has a teardrop tattooed onto his underneath his eye?
Amber Heard trial.
Oh, damn.
No.
It's a musical. It's a musical?
It's a musical.
It was in a musical other than Sweeney Todd?
Yes. Yeah. It was a John. I think it was a John Waters musical, too. Like, musical.
I don't know.
It was that same style. Crybaby.
Crybaby. Okay.
Crybaby.
I don't remember him being in Crybaby.
Yeah, he was like the lead in Crybaby.
I tried to watch all of Crybaby out.
And
me too.
The reason that I love that movie, my father hates it. The reason I love that movie is because his grandparents have the same surname as my maiden name, only with an S added to the end. Ah. So they're rickets. I was Ricket.
Okay. Isn't that also a disease?
It is. It's a vitamin D deficiency.
Just drawing it out there.
It is, but we were German and Swedish, and we were Rikert.
Ah, the Rikerts.
Yes.
All right, guys.
So if you have a speech impediment, it's the name of the Ewok in Return of the Jedi.
Oh. Yes. All right, guys, and it's now time for us to learn our lecture with the 5-minute professor, and this is actually on Scott's topic. Scott,
the reason why I picked this topic is because Remy is a man child and cannot eat anything other than mac and cheese, and today's topic, peanut butter and jelly. So I wanted to learn more about Remy's favorite food.
So this is the great thing about peanut butter and jelly. It is only 100 years old.
Really?
It is only just 100 years old. Here's why. Because we didn't have a real method for effectively slicing whole loaves of bread until 1928. So if you had to take your bread and cut your bread, it was a hell of a lot of work. And you're not going to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just throw crap on it and eat it. So it was more like it was a base which you would use with stews and you'd dunk it. It was not – bread was not a common calorie source for Americans until the 1930s, until we learned how to slice bread. So the expression, this is better than sliced bread, really means something because it changed the way that Americans and then the world ate. The inventor – Otto Roeder, Roeddeer, almost certainly not pronounced the way I did it. He started this development in 1912. He's working for a baker. He's coming up with this plan, but then there's a fire that destroyed his blueprints and the prototype. So he had to start over, and it took him another 16 years to get something to work. This is a huge innovation. So it comes out in 1928. By 1933, so that is 5 years later, 80% of all bread in the United States is sold pre-sliced. 5 years. There's nothing which catches on that quick. The iPhone didn't catch on as quick as sliced bread.
I got a question for you, Professor. Before 1933, what was the greatest thing?
Probably slavery.
Ouch.
God. So before 1933, the expression was, this was the greatest thing invented since slavery.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Yeah, especially in Mississippi. And that lingered on into the 60s. Anyway, so there was a survey that was conducted in 2002 that estimated the average American student ate 1,500 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches during their 12 years of schooling.
No kidding. 1,500.
Yep. But think about that. That number seems like a lot to me because that is 100 to 120 a year. There's 40 weeks of school. That means you're having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 2 to 3 times a week. Now, Remy, you love the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I sure do.
Did you have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 2 to 3 times a week?
I had it actually around that time. Yes, I did. Roughly.
Right, so, I would say so as well. I mean, there's 180 days of school. I would say, yeah, I 2 to 3 times a week. Absolutely. And then on the weekends as well.
So the numbers will vary, but a peanut butter and jelly sandwich has around 300 to 350 calories, which is a decent amount. You're supposed to have, especially as a kid, somewhere between 15 and 2,000 calories a day is a healthy diet. So if your lunch is 300, 350 calories, you're doing all right. Now, you're going to get some fat from the peanut butter. Now, this is where I now start having questions for you, Remy.
Okay.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich, by definition, made with white bread, right?
Right.
By definition, is made with white bread. The first sliced breads sold commercially, Wonder Bread, white bread. Do you like it with white bread or do you prefer it a different way?
I prefer it a different way, actually.
Okay, which is perfectly fine. Like growing up, I mean, the world is so different for me. I don't know if the world is different or if I've just grown into be a better human. But growing up, I only knew from white bread. I didn't know any other kinds of bread. There was no other bread for me to have a choice. And we went to a place called the IGA, so I didn't even get Wonder Bread. I got like generic bread. Although I was on Bozo the Clown when I was in like the 3rd or 4th grade, and the prize was a year's supply of Wonder Bread. It was 50 loaves of bread.
Wow.
I didn't win. The kid who played the next day won because they filmed several days in a row. So we got to watch the next day's show. So I got to participate in the game, and I sucked. But the kid who played the next day won, and he got a year's supply of Wonder Bread. But anyway, I digress. Remy, how do you like your peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
My peanut butter and jelly sandwich is just plain and simple. It's just rye bread with peanut butter, jelly, and also banana.
Ew. Jenna's making the exact right face. What the hell are you doing with rye bread?
Why would you do it with rye?
It's healthy.
It's not.
Italian cheese bread? I mean, what are you doing?
That's the stuff I put my Reubens on.
Oh, well. Which bread? Yes. Then which bread am I thinking? Oh, that's the bread I'm thinking of. Wheat. Wheat bread. That's what I meant. Jesus. Wheat bread. Wheat bread with peanut butter, jelly, and bananas.
Oh, God.
Let's unpack a little bit of this. Number one, technically, white bread is also wheat bread, right? It's made with wheat flour. Yes. What we think of as wheat bread is actually whole wheat bread, which not everything that's in there is ground all the way down to flour. Mm-hmm. You know, there's pieces of the whole wheat, which is a little bit of it's marketing. You know, it's supposed to, it's better for you because we didn't process it all this much, but still processed it a ton because you can't make things without processes, quite honestly. Otherwise, you just got raw fruit. And if you've ever just eaten some grass, that's what wheat tastes like. All right. So you like a wheat bread with peanut butter and banana.
Now, yes.
And jelly.
Oh, and jelly. Okay. So not an Elvis.
No.
No.
An Elvis is just peanut butter and banana. And bacon.
Yep.
And that's how you die in the bathroom, man. But.
Was it that or the Quaaludes?
In case you're looking for a restroom, in case you're looking for a recipe, the recipe for dying in the bathroom, peanut butter, bananas, bacon in a sandwich. Eat them a lot. Anyway, okay. So when you make this sandwich, describe the process of the sandwich.
All right.
So two pieces of bread, right?
Yep. Two pieces. Then you take the bottom of that bread, smack it with your peanut butter, whatever kind of peanut butter you're using.
And I don't want to interrupt, but it's what I do. So if you put butter on the bottom, now it's going to get on the counter or the table. So maybe I'm going to suggest put it on the top of the piece of bread.
He doesn't care.
I think already your plan is messed up. You put peanut butter on the bottom of something. That's wrong. Go on.
And then
you meant the bottom slice, Remy? Is that what you were?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So okay. On top of the bottom.
Right, top of the bottom. Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm.
Okay. I totally. Yeah.
Here comes not Jen.
By the way,
because I was thinking the way I make it, and that's not how I make it, but yeah.
By the way, the top of the bottom is also where you put a tramp stamp. Go on.
No. That put the bananas on top of the peanut butter. And then
Do you slice them the long way or the middle way?
What I do is
is a long slice of banana or is it round slices of banana?
What I do is I butterfly it. So I butterfly
the banana.
Which is the long way. Okay. And then I put the jelly and then
by the way, you butterfly chicken. I think that you would be hard pressed to find a chef in the world who says, I'm butterflying my banana.
Yep.
Yeah. So you split it down the middle.
Yeah. When you butterfly something, you cut it so that it becomes two halves. Not so it's two separate pieces, but that it's two halves, so it looks like a butterfly.
Oh yeah.
So when you cut a chicken down the middle, you're making it into two pieces that are still connected in the middle. So it is a butterfly. It's butterfly.
Yeah.
Symmetry.
If you're cutting it down the middle, you are slicing your damn banana the long way.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a banana split. I sure am. Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
And then after that, I put the rest of the left over the bread and put it on top, and that's my sandwich right there. And if I want to toast it. Put it in a frying pan, let it toast a little bit, and then it's good to go.
Yeah.
Remy, I've got questions.
Yes,
I've got
sir.
Questions.
Scott's got
questions. Do you use a different knife for the peanut butter and then the jelly? Because I do. I don't want them to mix in the jar.
Absolutely. I use two different knives. I do.
Strawberry or grape jelly?
Grape.
There's only one right answer.
Grape. But, grape.
Okay, good. And I sometimes use a spoon because I want it slopping off of my plate so that when I'm done, I can just take the plate and you know, like Jello. Okay.
I'm going to suggest against that. I'm going to throw a couple of ideas out there to you. Number one, and a different question that you didn't ask, Scott, so I assume you already have an answer on this one. Chunky or creamy?
Oh.
I prefer creamy. I don't want all the hassle of
depends on my mood.
Yeah, it all depends. Yeah.
Yeah, the ladies in my house prefer creamy. I prefer chunky. All right. So a couple of things to throw out there. A suggestion. If you put peanut butter on the top of the bottom slice and the top of the top slice, or really the bottom of the top slice, that seals the bread from getting soggy from the jelly. This is especially important if you're going to be taking it somewhere. You can use a little less peanut butter if you want, but the fat seals the liquid into the sandwich and is a great way to keep it from getting soggy. I wish I knew this 40 years ago. I would have had a much happier peanut butter and jelly experience growing up, because by the time I got to eat my lunch, it was always a soggy disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it on, if you essentially make it so it is a sandwich of jelly in between two layers of peanut butter, in between two layers of bread, this is a way to go.
So what are your feelings on toasting? Because what I do is I toast my bread and then I put butter on top of the bread on both sides. Would you stop? And then I put the peanut butter and then the jelly. And I actually clean off after I do the peanut butter, so I don't waste
In between, you shower in between rounds?
I clean off the knife so that I don't waste two dishes.
I thought maybe you were just slathering yourself in peanut butter and smearing toast on yourself that has butter on it. And then afterwards you got to shower.
No.
That's the off-air conversation.
And on top of that, I don't slather peanut butter. I only do a thin layer of peanut butter because you can't, it gets too stuck in your mouth if you have too much peanut butter.
There's a great commercial, which you've probably seen. It's a Gut Milk commercial,
mm-hmm,
where they're eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it said
Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr.
Do you know who made that commercial?
Who?
Who did it?
Michael Bay.
Ooh, no kidding.
Michael Bay was one of his first jobs. Michael Bay made that commercial.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, and nothing blew up.
Go figure. Go figure on that one.
So you did say that the only choice here is grape jelly. I disagree. I think there's room for some options here. This jam says jelly, says preserves. Couple of things. Do you keep your jelly in your refrigerator?
Yes. No.
After it's opened, yes.
You don't have to. And let me tell you why. The fact of the matter is that jams and jellies are all preservatives.
Preservatives, yeah.
They're preserves. The idea is to preserve it. So it has a very high sugar content, which results in a very low acidity. So it's a little counterintuitive. You would think, it's a whole ton of sugar in here. There's like a billion things that could go bad about this.
Absolutely.
But really low acidity. It's got a pH of around 3. So it's very acidic. Mm-hmm. Not that it doesn't taste acidic, like we think of acidity, but it's got a very low pH, has a very low usable water content. So as a result, the only reason that you need to put it into the refrigerator is to keep it cold. I mean, that's the only reason, because you like your jelly cold. Though. But it is designed to be shelf stable, and it will be better longer. Now, to Scott's point, if you're putting other stuff in there, like peanut butter, which can also stay in the cupboard, but if you're putting other things in there, you're introducing other things which might go bad, yeah. Right?
Right.
But in general, jelly does not need to be refrigerated. Do you know what the difference is between jelly, jam, and a preserve?
The amount of fruit.
I will accept that answer. Jelly is boiled juice.
Yeah.
It's boiled juice with sugar and pectin added. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Jam is crushed fruit, so it has some pulp to it,
mm-hmm,
and preserves are whole cooked fruits.
Yes.
Although, technically, all jams and jellies are preserves, but when we in the United States talk about preserves, we're talking about whole cooked fruits. Mm-hmm. How about fruit curds? One of the most unfortunately named foods in the world.
Yeah, it just sounds gross.
It does.
It sounds like milk that's gone bad.
Yeah, it's essentially a custard. You introduce eggs into the process, and it makes it more jelly-like.
Fruit custard is my version of moist. I hate that word.
Yeah, I hate it too. Yeah.
Well, fruit curds. Curds is a lot of people's version of moist as well. Fruit curds should probably be refrigerated. All right.
Well, yeah, because the eggs.
I have one other thing I want to talk with you about.
Okay.
What?
One other. Uncrustables.
Okay. Yes.
All right, in the freezer.
The greatest thing since sliced bread.
You know, that's a reasonable argument for that. But they're sold under the brand name of Uncrustables by J.M. Smucker's. They really don't have competition. Nope. Unbelievably, nobody else has made them. They were issued a patent in 2001.
There are. But there are off-brand ones.
I don't see them.
I see them, because they get bought for school supplies.
Oh, okay. So the patent was issued in 2001, but it was eventually overturned because you can't patent food. You can't say, hey, I invented this new food made out of food that exists. You can't do that. It is
right.
But you
it
can
is something like discovering America.
You can patent the process though.
You could patent the process, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
You can patent the process, but you can't patent the product. They got a patent for the sandwich, which got overturned because it was crappy. It's a crappy patent. So if you make a machine that can do it, you can patent the machine, but you can't patent the thing that the machine makes.
Mm.
And an Uncrustable, two pieces of white bread, two layers of peanut butter with jelly in the middle. That's how they make
that's
it. That's awesome. Why it doesn't get soggy.
Gotcha.
It also, because the peanut butter's on both sides, makes it so that if you have it in the freezer, the peanut butter is more solid and everything tastes so good, like being cold. Just a little bit out of the freezer, and it's amazing.
You're getting slightly more sexual pleasure out of an Uncrustable than I'm comfortable with.
She sure is, Professor. She sure is, Professor.
Look.
Let's get it on.
There are only a few joys in life, and that's one of them.
Besides
getting on?
Remy, is this why you like peanut butter and jelly so much? Now the picture has been painted. Now I'm understanding the situation a little bit more. This is what you guys do. You do like this weird peanut butter and jelly dress-up day. Like, is that what goes on?
And
Remy comes in dressed as Peter Pan, not the cartoon character from Disney, but the Peter Pan, the peanut butter guy.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's all done in a GIF. So I'm ready for the
question.
Oh,
damn.
No, because I don't want it to get recalled.
That is funny. You guys, we are going to take a quick commercial break while my wife is done laughing. We are going to come back and do the quiz with the 5-Minute Professor. Guys, do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. You are listening to Remy's Roundtable.
5 minutes, right?
You're listening to Remy's Roundtable with Remy, Scott, and Jen.
Hey everyone, it's Dane from Big Beautiful Diz. If you're not familiar with my channel already, I do videos about theme parks, historical videos, interviews with people from the theme park community, or people that have worked in or with a theme park. I give my opinions, plus I review the latest Disney, Marvel, or Pixar movie. So head over to youtube.com/c/bigbeautifuldiz and hit that red subscribe button. I'll see you over there, everyone.
Hey, this is Joe from the Diz His Podcast, and you're listening to Remy's Roundtable.
Welcome back, everybody, to Remy's Roundtable, streaming on all podcasting platforms. Guys, please check us out on tpublic.com. That is where you guys can buy your very own Remy Eats Off the Kids Table t-shirt. It is right there on tpublic.com. Coming up, guys, we are going to do the quiz with the 5-Minute Professor. Of course, you guys know the crew. My name is Remy, and we have Scott and Jen. And now, guys, it is time for us to do the quiz with the 5-Minute Professor. And I would like to add that the professor passed our rapid questions, and he did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do want to just throw out there very, very quickly, although you do have a shirt which says that Remy eats off of the kids' table, you should have a new shirt that says if Scott made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he would be licking off of the kids' table, because that is already what we have established as, in fact, I would think that if he was at work eating his sandwich and it spilled into his lap, he would be a pant licker.
That's just a guess that I have.
Pant licker. All right, here are our questions. Question number one. In 2002, one of the earliest internet viral sensations was a video of what type of fruit dancing to the song Peanut Butter Jelly Time?
It's a banana.
It is a banana. bananas are not actually a very good source of potassium, which I always had been told that it was. It actually isn't a good source of potassium, but they do provide 31% of which B vitamin? I want just the number. It is not one of the B vitamins that has a name.
12.
Not 12. Although Scott, I think that's riboflavin, isn't it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Scott?
it's a number. It is five. Higher than five, lower than 12.
Nine.
That's German for no, and that's also my answer. The right answer is B6.
Oh. Oh, you sunk my battleship.
Oh. Okay. So B6 is a possible bingo call. What is the highest B in bingo? What is the highest B in bingo?
20.
Lower than 20.
15?
14.
It is 15. Nicely
nice
done.
Good job, yes. Remy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's 15 of each number. Okay. So B is 1 to 15. I is 16 to 30. N is 30 to 45. 31 to 45. And so on, through bingo. Bingo is popular in the United States because of a Polish immigrant named E.S. Land, who also popularized what slightly elitist dice game?
Farkle?
Not Farkle.
Yahtzee.
Yahtzee is correct.
Let's go, Scott. Farkle's Let's nice go.
Yahtzee. Yeah, it was meant to be a game that people with yachts played. That's why it was called Yahtzee.
Okay.
Yeah, so they changed the spelling of yacht, but that it was meant to be a game to be played on board boats because you couldn't have a board game. Mm. That was the whole thing. I mean, you can't do that sort of thing on a boat that moves, but you can throw dice. And so Yahtzee was meant to be slightly elitist. In the original version of Yahtzee, a second or third Yahtzee could be used as a joker, and it could score points in what three categories? There are three right answers to this. What are the three categories where you could use a joker to score points?
Full house.
Full house is correct.
A run?
That's not even called a run. It's a straight.
Straight.
I'll need you to be slightly more specific.
A straight.
That is not more specific.
That's large straight.
Large straight is right.
Large straight. Okay.
And then
small straight?
That is absolutely correct.
Let's go.
Okay.
In the original game, you could use a Yahtzee to get 30 points, 40 points, or 25 points, 30 points, or 40 points, depending on whether you used it for a full house, a large straight, or a small straight. But you had to have already taken 50 points for Yahtzee and the number that you got in the Yahtzee, you had to have already put something in the top, in the upper section. That was the original rules. All right?
Okay.
All right. Now, on Full House, Danny, Bob Saget, had what two jobs during the run of the show? He had two different jobs. What were they?
He was a sports anchor.
Yes.
And then he was the main anchor of Wake Up San Francisco.
I would say morning show co-host, but absolutely
morning show
correct.
Co-host. Yes. Right.
Absolutely
Let's go.
Correct. Nicely done. Nice work. That's good job right there. That's solid. All right. Now.
He liked the Golden State Warriors before they were trending.
That's true.
Nice.
Yeah, he liked the Golden State Warriors before trending was a thing that you might say.
And he was also a great house cleaner, too.
Yep. He was OCD about the house cleaning.
Sage Steele, an ESPN sports anchor, was recently injured while covering what sport?
Hockey.
Not hockey. Sage Steele, ESPN anchor, was recently injured while covering what sport? I'll need an answer.
Jen?
Golf?
I'm going to say baseball.
Not baseball. What did you say, Jen?
I said golf.
She got hit in the face with a golf ball off the
tee. Holy cow.
Ooh. And I'll say this. There are some pictures out there, but I don't want to see them. But she got hit in the face. She says she's recovering. She's going to have a full recovery. She thanked both her doctors and her dentist.
Ouch.
Not going to be good.
She got a ball in the mouth. That's what she said.
Ella, what beverage is considered the official spirit of the Scottish Open Golf Tournament? You're taking too long.
Let's see here.
Whiskey.
Whiskey, right?
I need you to be more specific.
Scotch whiskey.
Scottish whiskey?
Scotch whiskey. Scotch whiskey. It's Scotch.
Absolutely Scotch right. whiskey.
Makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. Scotch is named Scotch because all of the ingredients must be Scottish. Mm-hmm. The water that it's used, the wheat or barley that's used, all of it, the hops. Hops? No, it's
no,
not hops. No, all of the ingredients in Scotch needs to come from Scotland in order for it to be called Scotch. Otherwise, it's whiskey. What common office supply was called scotch because it was considered cheap?
Tape.
Scotch tape. When they originally made it on purpose so it wouldn't be as sticky as heavy-duty industrial tape, so you could use it as an office supply. However, at the time that this was developed, a common insult for something that was cheap or inexpensively made was that it was scotch. You guys are doing very, very well. This might possibly be the very best score you have ever received. Here we are. Scotch tape is a brand name owned by what U.S. manufacturing company? They're also technically a mining company.
Oh.
Isn't it National 3M or 3M?
No, that's 3 millimeter.
That's 3 millimeter, Scott.
No, it's the billboard company also.
What is that place? What is that?
I'm going to need an answer.
Honey, don't start. Stop looking.
No, I'm just thinking because I have a.
The answer is
pass.
Oh my God.
National 3M. Scott was that close. That close. And you talked him out of the right answer. The right answer is 3M. It's Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. That was the 3Ms.
Okay.
Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company. And it was 3M.
I was thinking of my laminator and it 3 mil.
3M, which is also a billboard company. They made billboards.
Well, it's also
a scotch product.
So 3M owns a crazy number of patents. Their first patent was in 1924. Their next patent was in 1928. But in the last 30 years, they have been issued 3,000 to 4,000 patents a year.
Damn.
Wow.
They have over 200,000 patents, some of which they buy. Sometimes they buy patents, and sometimes they have patents which exist. 3M is essentially an intellectual property company now, more than it is a manufacturing company, and they make a ton of stuff too. 3M made a really good N95 mask, as an example. That's very, very popular. All right, final question. In 1901, the first published recipe in the Boston Cooking School book, Boston Cooking School magazine, was for what type of sandwich, which included 3 slices of bread?
BLT.
Not BLT.
A triple-decker peanut butter and jelly?
Well, not really a triple-decker peanut butter and jelly, just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because that was the first... The first public. So this is 1901. This is before sliced bread existed. So they said you should take the bread and you should cut thin slices and then put the peanut butter on one slice, the jelly on the another slice, and then put a slice on top.
Wow.
Make it as a triple deck. That was the original peanut butter and jelly recipe. Folks, you did a great job today. I'm doing some math over here in my head. I'm going to carry the 1. Now I'm going to carry the 7. And it is... A 94.6.
That's an A.
Let's go. Great job, guys. Great job, Professor. What's coming up for the 5-minute Professor?
So there's a ton of things going on. I have 2 live shows now. I have a show on Tuesday night at Post Time Lounge and Cafe in Longwood, and I started a new show on Wednesday nights in Oviedo. At the Gators Dockside Oviedo. That show is every Wednesday night. That show starts at 7 o'clock. And I also have 4 more shows of Who the Dickens. There is a show on Tuesday night this week. We have a show on Thursday night this week, which Remy and Jen are going to be coming out to, which I appreciate. Then I have this weekend. We got a weird mix of times. Saturday night, at 10 p.m., we have a show. And Sunday, the last night of the show, we have the last show of The Fringe. Starts at 9:45 p.m. on Sunday. So I need any help that I can get to get the word out. I got some 2 late shows. And I know what you're thinking, 9:45 on a Sunday, but the next day is Memorial Day.
Right.
So it's a long weekend. So it's okay that show is late. You can still come out and see it. It is a really good show. It's Who the Dickens. I am Ebenezer Scrooge. My wife is the lovely and talented Cindy Lou Who, who might just possibly be insane.
Professor, as always, thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight. And next month, we will be recording live in Ocoee
I don't think you know what recording means. All right, go on.
we are gonna be taping live on Remy's Roundtable.
Still the same thing.
Okay, well, you know what? We're just gonna be recording remotely. Remotely, yeah.
Or in person.
In person, yes.
And when are you doing that?
Whenever you are free in June, we will do that, and we'll be recording from. In a COE called Game Time. That is where we'll be recording in person for Game Time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to it. Do you have an idea for a topic?
Topic?
I think you're the next one for the topic, aren't
I
you?
I am, because, honey, this is for... Because, well, yeah, actually,
arcades,
I you know what?
Arcades.
You know what?
Yes!
Will we like to do it on...
Arcades.
Video games.
Video games.
Arcades.
There we go.
Video games. I like it.
All right, guys, coming up, we are going to go ahead and wrap up the program for the evening with Scott News. So, guys, do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Scott's.
We'll be right back with Remy's Roundtable. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Maybe it's Scotch News. Maybe it's cheap.
There you go. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Through the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. With the baseball bat. Through the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. With the football cap. Now take it down and freeze.
Freeze.
Take it down, TV.
Freeze.
Now lean back and freeze.
Freeze.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Remy here. Check us out. I know you guys like listening to Remy's Roundtable on iHeartRadio and Spotify, but we are also on Newsly. So it's an app where you guys can check out all your headlines as well. But most importantly, you guys can listen to Remy's Roundtable. Head on over to newsly.me and put in that promo code Remy. That's R-E-M-Y, and you guys will be able to get a one-month free subscription to Newsly. Once again, guys, that is newsly.me. Put in that promo code Remy, R-E-M-Y, and you guys can get that one-month free subscription. And now back to Remy's Roundtable. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Let me tell you about TeePublic.com. TeePublic.com can make your very own t-shirts, mugs, stickers, magnets, cell phone cases, laptop cases, even a pillowcase for your pillow. That's right, guys. If you guys would like to have a Remy's Roundtable t-shirt, just head on over to TeePublic.com. Once again, guys, that is TeePublic.com. Type in Remy's Roundtable in the search bar and purchase your very own Remy's Roundtable t-shirt.
Do you like Disney? Do you love finding out fun facts about your favorite attractions or restaurants? Then you must try Diz His, the Disney History Podcast. Joe, Alex, and Jen will keep you entertained as they deep dive into all things Disney. Visit DizHis.com or follow us on all social media at DizHis65. We even have a YouTube channel. Just search DizHis anywhere, and I hope you give us a listen.
Hey, it's Dane from Big Beautiful Diz, and you're listening to Remy's Roundtable, streaming on all major podcasting platforms.
Welcome back, everybody, to Remy's Roundtable, streaming on all podcasting platforms. If you would like to become a member of the Roundtable, head on over to patreon.com/Remy's Roundtable. You guys can join our Roundtable for only $3 a month. That's right, $3 a month to become a Roundtable member. Also, head on over to orlandoweekly.com/local notable and vote for us. Vote for Remy's Roundtable and also vote for the No New Friends podcast. So welcome back, everybody. Wake me up. Of course, you guys know the crew tonight. As always, we have myself. My name is Remy, and we have Scott, and we have my lovely wife, Jen. All right, Scott, I think it's time for us to do the news. What do you have for us, man?
All right. So first, we're gonna start with some reopenings, some openings, and kind of some rumors. Okay, so new Disney art display and store is going to be opening up soon in Orlando, right around May 31st. This thing looks pretty cool. There's a nice big digital sign out, a new Disney store that's off Disney property, so that's cool. I'm really excited about this next thing. So they've shut down the Groove at CityWalk, which, you know, that club was cool back when I was like 22 years old. It's just CityWalk is not as much of that club atmosphere, I don't think, anymore.
Yeah.
It's a great place to go drink at, to hang out, unless it's got like a unique thing, like Rising Star is unique. You know, Margaritaville, obviously. The clubs are not going to last. Pat O'Brien's is always going to do well because they're dueling piano. So it looks like, and rumors have it, that Universal is going to be putting on a great movie escape room type thing in the Groove, which I'm really excited about. I mean, I love escape rooms, and if it was Universal themed, that would be really cool. Remy, Jen, do you guys go to escape rooms? You like escape rooms?
No, I've always wanted to go on one.
I went to one.
So much fun.
I went to one when I was, it was a few years back.
Yeah, you went with Jay and the...
Yeah,
the
went with my good friend Justin and our good friend Chris. And this was actually Chris's birthday gift. And we did an escape room. And this was off of a... iDrive somewhere, like behind iDrive, like toward, like
there's like 60 million of them on iDrive.
I know.
Everywhere you turn, there's an escape room.
So the one we went to was actually right across the street from Topgolf. That's the one we went to, right around that
the
area.
Convention center.
Yeah,
I know which one you're talking about. It's MindQuest, which is unfortunately no longer there. And that was one of the best ones. MindQuest was really, really good. So yeah, I'm really excited about this. And you know what? We're gonna have to do like a Remy's Roundtable, Diz His, No New Friends.
Yes. Let's escape. Do it.
That would be super fun.
That would be awesome.
Because it's the right amount of people. Too many people, you got too many hands in the pot, and too many people trying to throw their ideas out there. But you need a good number of people because everybody's brains work differently, and it helps with the puzzles.
Exactly.
So we're gonna have to do that real soon.
So that means Universal's announcing. I was going to say, so we What's have to that? Keep Remy, no. even though he's special.
Yes, of course, of course. Because he'll be able to tap into to something there that he'll be able to get like us really cool guests on the podcast.
Besides, I may just get us out of the escape room like with a minute on the dot.
Well, okay.
We'll see.
I'm just
we'll
saying.
See. You know, look, everybody's looking for their for cheaper tickets and cheap tickets options. Universal's got an interesting one. I'm curious about this. They've announced cheap multi-day ticket option. Now through September 30th, guests can purchase a four-day park ticket for just $80 per person. Now, is that $80 per day? Because that's still a hell of a deal. $80 per day is still a great deal. I think that's probably what it is, because $80 per person for 4 days seems way, way low.
Right.
So I bet you it's $80 per person per day, which, like I said, that's still cheaper than a one-day ticket. So pretty cool deal. I know Disney does their like Florida residents four-day pass for $150. That's a great deal. Yes, Remy.
In the words of Remy, yes, I'm speaking in third person. That is a steal.
Those are your words alone. Okay.
We'll get some more information on that.
Good.
We're getting closer and closer to everyday normal, with some more openings and special events coming back. But Hoop-De-Doo Musical Review is coming back on June 23rd. Nice. Get your reservations. May 26th is when they open up the reservation portal. There's different pricings on all that depending on where you sit. And they're going to have two shows per night. I'm really excited about Hoop-De-Doo. I've never seen it, and I can't wait to bring Abby out there, my 9-year-old. She's gonna freaking love it.
You know, that's our our dating anniversary weekend.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
Very cool. Very cool. The SeaWorld landscaping project, otherwise known as the roller coaster, the tracks are over by the main entrance, and you know, rumors are it's either going to be a sit down or stand down, and it's going to be like a surf coaster. And the manufacturer is B&M. We talked about them a little bit a couple weeks ago. They also did Dueling Dragons. They created that ride. B&M is one of the best roller coaster manufacturers that I've seen. So that'll be exciting. SeaWorld is definitely transitioning away from the animals and onto being a thrill park. And good for them, because you know, I don't like a lot of roller coasters, but Orlando needs a thrill park. I wouldn't call right. Universal or Islands of Adventure a thrill park. They're a theme park with some thrill rides, of course. But SeaWorld's doing a good job of staying relevant.
Yeah.
Other reopenings. Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, part of the reason that they're doing that is because of the animal activists and what have you. And
yeah.
I'd hate to think that, you know, we wouldn't be doing the reason that SeaWorld is around is because they are trying to preserve the animals and save animals that are in the ocean that would otherwise die without, you know, their help.
Yeah, so much conservation. They do exactly. so much good work.
And, exactly.
And PETA, otherwise known as PETA, because PETA is also short for pain in the ass, they're trying to ruin that because they are awful human beings.
Well, because they don't care about the animals. They don't really care about the animals.
No, not at all. I agree with you.
No. They would rather, they don't want people to have pets. They don't want people to have anything. And they would rather the animals die than be helped in any certain way.
Right.
A lot of them. Yeah. Because it would be interfering with the animal to help them.
What's next, Scott?
Anyway, sorry. Bringing it down.
It's okay. Harmony. I'm starting to sound like
Red. Harmony. All right. Let's go, Harmony.
If you spend enough time with him, you will.
Yeah. The barbershop at Magic Kingdom will reopen on July 31st. So that's exciting. I've never gotten my hair cut. Well, I don't have any hair, but I guess it's a cool thing to do, but a very expensive haircut. Some early closings and some special events. So Disney cast member Iridescent Evenings were going to be happening at 3 out of the 4 theme parks, either Animal Kingdom's not included, so Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. So if you see some modified park hours, they're just taking care of their cast, and the cast deserves to have fun too. Some summer events. SeaWorld Orlando Electric Ocean is back. Tampa Bay Busch Gardens Summer Celebration is also coming back. And Epcot Food and Wine will be back right in the middle of the summer. Another closure, Germany Pavilion, the model train tunnels are going to be refurbished. That's the highlight nice. Of Germany for me, that and the Schoferhofer. So I don't know what, the magic is gone.
Those damn model trains.
It's almost like those mosquitoes that they just let in.
Let's talk about the food and wine fest real quick. Scott, did you see the lineup for the bands that are going to be performing?
I did. I did. And definitely some exciting bands for sure.
Boyz II Men, Hanson is going to be there. Let's see, Sugar Ray will be back. And
Sugar Ray's always there.
They're always there, man. Always there.
He's like cool in the gang for Mardi Gras. Cool in the gang will be at Mardi Gras every year, just as Sugar Ray will be at Food and Wine. Or
Mardi Gras.
That's right.
They're at Mardi Gras every year, too.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yep. Yeah. So Food and Wine, by far my least favorite of the food and beverage festivals. I prefer Flower and Garden as my number one, and then the arts show as my number two. Before we get to what's new on Disney Plus and then some closures that I want to discuss, another dumbass Disney guest that I want to kind of talk about real quick. So apparently, according to my source here is Remy. So if it's wrong, it's, you know, Remy's
fault. It's his fault.
Yep. So a guest dropped their Apple Watch on Nemo and Friends at Epcot, and they jumped out to get back to get the watch back. Now, look, that's dumb in itself, but I get it. The Apple Watches are very expensive. So they jumped out. Look, that's dangerous and against the rules. Don't jump out of a vehicle. But this, you know, that's not it. Yes, you're going to get kicked out of the park, but this guy gets arrested. Okay. Now, Remy, I would have you guess as to what he got arrested for, but you wrote these, so I'm not going to have you guess. So I'm going to tell you what he got arrested for. And look, I have a philosophy, okay? Never break two laws at the same time. So if your blinker or if your headlights are out on your car, or your brake lights, your taillights are out in your car, don't carry cocaine in the car with you. You're just asking to go to jail, okay? If you've got a prostitute in your car, don't speed. Don't break two laws at the same time, okay? if you break one at a time, you're probably going to get away with it. Two, you're screwed, okay?
You're just screwing general, I mean, right there, so.
Yes, yeah. Remy, I'll tell the jokes, okay?
Good
choice. Jen, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, I was agreeing with that. If I accidentally left my wallet and license and everything at home, so I'm driving home from work thinking I have my license in there, and I go to get gas, and there's nothing there, and I'm like, oh, great. So now I have to, after I pay with Wawa and the Wawa app, that's amazing. I have to make sure that I am on it with this, with the speed limits and everything, so that I don't get pulled over because I don't have my driver's license on me. And they frown on that a lot, especially in Seminole County.
Yep. So let me tell you what happened to this guy. So this guy jumps out to get his watch and then gets arrested because this idiot has a warrant out for his arrest because he's got $40,000 in fraudulent credit card charges.
Oh my God.
So he knows he's been breaking some laws, and he decides I'm gonna jump out of the moving vehicle, get kicked out, and deal with security who runs my thing, and then I'm screwed.
After the cast member told that guest to stay in your vehicle at all times, we will grab that item for you at the end of the day.
Look, don't jump out of vehicles.
Yeah.
All right. So what's coming to Disney Plus? We've got a huge lineup. Some of them I have dates for, some of them I don't. There's gonna be an Elton John documentary, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. That's gonna be headed to Disney Plus. She-Hulk Attorney at Law, the next in the Marvel series, that's coming out on August 17th. Disney's the much awaited, much rumored for years and years, maybe decades, Disney's Hocus Pocus 2 is going to be arriving on Disney Plus on September 30th. And then on November 11th, Black Panther Wakanda Forever is going to be released in theaters.
And also, guys, on May 27th, Obi-Wan Kenobi will be premiering on Disney Plus.
So if you wanted that in the news, you should have typed it.
I know.
Exactly.
But I just want to say, all because right, it's Obi-Wan, I love Star Wars.
All right. We're already over time, so I'm going to zip through these next ones. So we've got some shutdowns and some changes, okay? Universal shut down the Pterodon Flyers temporarily. Should reopen hopefully May 29th. Starting on June 8th, this is huge. Disney Plus will no longer be offered as pre-arrival ticket add-on. So what that means is right now you can purchase Genie Plus a couple days in advance. Now you're going to have to wait till 7 a.m. the day of your park visit to book Genie Plus. What I love about this is now it evens out the tiers. So currently, the people who are staying on property in a Disney resort, they get first dibs at Genie Plus. They've got first dibs at the Genie Plus and making the reservations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then comes annual pass holders, then comes regular day tickets, then comes cast members. Now we're going to kind of even it up. I love this thing. I'm all for it because I use Genie Plus. I love Genie Plus, and I want to be able to have just as good of a shot at someone who's staying on property. Shrek and Donkey meet and greet will be closing temporarily to find a new location. Obviously, that's going to be Minions area. Everywhere you look, Minions. Monsters Cafe, Minions, where this old Shrek meet and greet, Minions. Minions is going to be changing to Minions. The old Shrek attraction is going to be Minions. They're also going to be having Minion Race Through New York. Revenge of the Minion, Escape from Minions, Men in Minions, which sounds a little
sexual.
Anyway, Minions the Ride, the Minions Stuntacular, and also E.T.
So I want to say that what was I going to say about that? Now here's my prediction. This is only a prediction. It's not a rumor. If I was Universal, I would move the Donkey meet and greet over by the DreamWorks location where the old Barney gift shop was. Have him right there. Because there's DreamWorks right there.
Pretty good suggestion. We'll see what happens. This is the saddest news of the day, and unfortunately will be our last news story of this episode. Universal Studios has confirmed that the Superstar Parade will be having its last step off on June 4th.
Yeah.
To make way for another entertainment experience.
I will be out there seeing that for the very last time. And that was a great, great parade. That was like our 3 o'clock parade for Disney. This was our parade for Universal.
It was at 5.
Well, yeah, but I can't really say. You know, I'm just saying, like,
no, look, the music was great. It's as we were saying a couple weeks ago, this was the closest thing to Disney magic, was that Superstar Parade. But look, we trust the process. If Universal's closing it, they're going to put something better in its place. So let's hold out faith and hope that they put something in there that is
fantastic. So that is your theme park news and update. You can follow me. Check me out, nonewfriendspodcast.com. We're streaming on all major podcasting platforms. Connect with us, the YouTube and all that. And also vote for us on OrlandoWeekly.com. Best of Orlando competition under the category Local Notables Best Local Podcast.
That's right, guys. And coming up next week on Remy's Roundtable, we got, of course, your updates. And we're just going to talk about what happened for that week. All right, guys.
Let's probably give you some more information on the, what's it called? The Fringe.
The Fringe, yes.
And what we've done, what we've seen.
That's right. We'll give you guys the updates on what shows we saw at the Fringe Fest, including
also who probably played the Dickens. Celebrity birthday game.
That's
There's
right.
That too.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get the hell up out of here. Well, guys, that will do it for our program. Once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We like having you guys listen to our program. Make sure you guys check us out on tpublic.com, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and right there on newsly.me. If you guys type in the promo code Remy, you guys will get a 1 month free subscription to newsly.me. On behalf of Scott and Jen, guys, my name is Remy. Thank you so much for listening to Remy's Roundtable. We will see everybody next week. Until then, you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Take care.
FriendsPodcast.com.
You've been listening to Remy's Roundtable with Remy, Scott, and Jen.